It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Or you may be listening to the podcast from the Gadget Grill, www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Hi there, I am the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray.
And I'm Jeff Quattromani.
And we're never quite sure in which those or, in which order those names are going to go.
I know. I just pull it out of a. I just pull it out of my hat, and we draw. See who draws the short straw. And Jeff, I believe you drew the short straw this week.
I don't know what you're referring to, Gary. If you're picking on my. The fact that I lost something special this week, then that could be it?
No.
No, we're talking about the fact that your car got written off.
Okay, good.
actually, I'm talking about the fact that he actually got to spend a couple of days in Melbourne during the last week. And that is definitely drawing the short... I shouldn't say things like that, should I? Melbourne is a lovely place.
It's okay. We're not actually on the air in Melbourne, but I think my dad might be listening.
Welcome to the show. Jeff, you have been down in Melbourne. What have you been up to?
Yeah, I spent two individual day trips to Melbourne, which is always fun to get up early, fly down, and come home late.
Well, was that two in the one week?
Because he was away last Sunday.
Oh, because Leah, last one. Yeah.
And Thursday. And we're going to talk more about what you did on Thursday later on in the show. Jason, you've been walking the tightrope without a net, I heard.
What?
Yeah, there's been some things at work.
he's been walking the tightrope at work without a net.
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not try this at home.
He's a trained professional. Let's not talk about this.
No, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about what you're doing at your work. And me? Oh, God, I've been doing this the usual crap.
Okay.
Surviving,
carrying on.
Being the usual pain in the ass to everybody, every man and his dog, as I normally am. So that's been the week. We actually went out. I know you went out to Penrith this morning. We were out at.
I did.
We were out there yesterday, as it happens.
So I've ventured out that way. I didn't go as far as Penrith the last 2 weeks. Like I stopped a couple of stations short, but no, I've basically been heading out there a lot on weekends. But hopefully that's over for a while now.
You should move out there slowly.
No. I don't want to.
This is some new meaning of the word lovely that I'm not actually familiar with at this point, Jeff.
Nothing wrong with the West.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Do you live in the West?
He lives in the Northwest.
I think it's classified as Northwest.
Yes. I live in the East. The Inner West is good.
I live in the Inner West.
Hello to our Inner West listeners.
Hello, Inner Westies.
Yes, and that is our broadcast catchment area, of course. Very, very important to the station. Our Inner West listeners, all of our listeners, both of you, are very, very important.
You can't count us.
No. Well, we are listening.
Are we?
We are. We got jobs. What are you doing with the headphones on, Jeff?
I'm listening to Jason.
He's not listening that much. He's got the Beats headphones.
He's still got the Beats headphones. I better not say that.
They are still working.
I did not say that.
Let me just finish your sentence. They are still working.
Indeed. Ah, it is Easter this week. It has changed to autumn. The seasons have finally changed.
Very abruptly today, hasn't it? It's pouring with rain.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to my mind, this is not at all surprising.
But it's actually okay as well, because if you're not listening to the rebroadcast of us on Tuesday, it's going to be pouring with rain as well.
Oh, it's not a spoiler. You did do the weather, right?
But the weather wasn't recorded for the
rebroadcast. Oh, dear. We're carrying on about all sorts of rubbish.
What's on the show tonight?
We're going to talk about the augmented reality glasses from Epson.
Yes.
We're going to talk about going to the Galaxy S7 from an iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
And we got news.
That's a good idea.
And
one of us can talk about that.
Well, that's right. and the rest of us can heckle from the sidelines.
Yes, I would appreciate that.
Indeed. And we're going to listen to Linda Ronstadt, the Stone Ponies. This is the first song that Linda Ronstadt actually had a hit with. It's Different Drum.
Thank you.
We're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Continue talking. Tell us what news you bring forth.
What news from yonder yes. technology world doth thou bring?
Exactly.
Wow. Doth thou bring.
Oh, sorry. Doth dust, thou bringest.
Dost thou bringest.
So picky.
I know.
For me, a short piece of news would be that my Telstra phone stopped working on Thursday, basically.
Yours and no, wasn't it Friday? Others.
Thursday.
I thought it was Thursday. Friday.
Absolutely Thursday.
Thursday afternoon.
So essentially, I was in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne for the day and noticed that my data was coming in and out. And I thought, geez, Melbourne's got bad reception. Nope. All of Telstra customers had bad reception at that time.
And this is the third outage that they've had in the last month.
Yep. It's insane.
Is it the third? It's the second major one.
They've had three major outages, two of them super major and one of them major minor.
Hmm.
So it's crazy. So essentially, there was I'm going to say nationwide. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just a few states.
It was nationwide.
But to me, it's a huge loss from Telstra again. But what they've done again is give you a bonus data day.
Yes, that's going to be on Sunday, April the 3rd, which mm-hmm. is 2 weeks away.
Yes, it's also the end of daylight savings.
Yes.
So guess what?
You get an extra hour.
25 hours.
Yes.
25 hours to just download everything.
I like how some of the people tweeted it on Friday when it was announced, because they announced it as being a data-free day as opposed to a free data day.
Well, the maybe they're planning another outage.
that's what it seemed like when they said it was a data-free day.
So am I the only one who is slightly suspicious that Telstra might be planning to use
these things? Exercise?
No, not as a marketing exercise, but as a way to stress test their network. So the last time they did a free data day, they were ready with their blog post, like afterwards going, yep, people downloaded X terabytes of data. We had a few patchy things connecting people to the network, but it was really good. I wonder if the same thing's going to happen this time.
I wonder if we
get to set records for data usage on Telstra Sundays.
What a cynical attitude.
I was actually going to say that if they wanted to do that, why wouldn't they just announce that every Sunday or whatever, one day a month is free data day?
But what if they're doing it to stress test their network in advance of announcing that?
No, it's the same thing.
No, because one is one that you don't have to repeat. If you announce it that it's happening every weekend and your network doesn't handle it, then you've got trouble.
Yes.
I don't know.
Jason, news.
Sony is testing out some freaky new headphones in that they're not headphones. They've put pictures out of this thing, which is basically a collar that sits around your neck and it sits on your shoulders, and it projects sound upward into your ears.
Did this come out 2 weeks early?
Nope.
Is this sort of it travels through bone? Is that the idea?
No, it's not bone conduction. It actually projects the sound into your ear, but it's muted to anyone who is around you. So they say.
Think in terms of a gramophone, the old style gramophone with the horn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you stand directly in front of the horn, you get good sound. Now, if this is done correctly and properly directed with that horn sort of interface, then you can point it towards your ear and you can hear it and other people can't. If you go to the Exploratorium in San Francisco, they have a couple of dishes set up where this is showing communication across a distance of space. There's an air gap and there's two dishes facing one another. And if you stand in front of one of the dishes and somebody that you're with stands in front of the other dish, then you can talk to one another.
It sounds like that cathedral in Rome.
Yes, kind of. You can talk to one another, but if you're not standing directly in front of these dishes, then you hear no sound. And it's
weird.
Probably using
I think it's very similar
sort of technology to that.
So the interesting thing with it is that it allows the wearer to hear what's going on around them. Yes. It allows the wearer to hear what's going on around them because they don't actually have headphones in. So it could actually, if this actually works properly, it could actually revolutionize things like jogging headphones and sports headphones. Anywhere where you actually need to listen to things and you know, it could be construction sites, you know, anything like that where
of
you
course,
might
when
to
you're
things.
Traveling in a plane and you need some noise cancelling headphones, I don't know that they'd be
I
that
I don't think they're going to do much for you for noise cancelling. No. Never know.
That's interesting.
So the word is that they may be available by the end of the year.
Very interesting.
I reckon they'll wait
although
to
that's
see,
not,
yes.
That's not... well, maybe they will.
I think
don't
they
know.
Would.
I don't know. I saw something very interesting today in terms of video editing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, consider, if you will, you have a video of a person moving, yeah. talking, saying stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, let's get an actor or somebody else in a second video stream who is saying something that this person, you would like to see this person saying, but they're not. Let's, for instance, say Donald Trump saying something sensible for a change. for instance.
Right.
Something that this person is very unlikely to say is what, is what he's getting at.
Yeah, yeah. They've developed this system that combines the two video streams.
Hmm.
Preserves the facial features and expressions of your target person, but animates...
The victim.
That target person
yeah.
with another person's mouth movements.
Oh, okay.
So it makes that person appear as though they are their mouth is moving in concert with what that actor is doing.
Like face swap.
Kind of like face swap, but it does this.
Why didn't you just say that 30 seconds ago?
I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah. No. Feel free to interrupt. This is doing this in real time.
Like face swap.
This is doing it a lot better than face
real-time
swap.
Real-time face swap.
Yeah, it's called face-to-face, and it's being done by researchers at Stanford, the Max Planck Institute, and the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg.
Why are they even making it?
Cause
so that
can.
It can be misused in the future.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Why?
They might actually be making it to use as a weapon against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Good on them.
They, from what I'm seeing, from the videos that I've seen, they haven't yet got voice installed on it, but they're certainly doing the animation of the face, and it looks very, very realistic.
Hmm.
Google face-to-face system, and that's F-A-C-E, the number 2, F-A-C-E.
Hmm.
Google that, and watch their video, and it is very, very interesting.
Okay.
Chilling.
Chillingly interesting, yeah. And it's going to make you wonder whether what you're seeing is actually what you're seeing.
I'm not sure if Gary's actually saying what he's saying.
I'm a fake.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Interesting news this week.
Go on.
From Kogan. Kogan has bought, and you need to be very specific on this part, they've bought the Dick Smith online business.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't bought Dick Smith.
He's still around.
They haven't bought the stores. They've bought the Dick Smith online store, which means the website. They'll be basically able to take control of the entire website. Then they haven't bought stock. They haven't bought the employees or anything like that, but they've bought the website. So essentially
they're not actually getting the stock from the website either.
No.
That's interesting.
So essentially it's almost like taking the web server and putting it into their own room.
So,
do you know what I mean?
So what I'd been hearing this week is that the web operations for Dick Smith had been intentionally kept propped up and well stocked because they knew that this was going to be happening.
Interesting.
Oh yeah.
So it's worth noting that if you are buying something from a Dick Smith store today and something goes wrong with it, you can't ring Kogan in 2 months' time and say, "Hey, I hear you're looking after it."
In actual point of fact, just to add to that, the receivers who are handling the winding up of Dick Smith have said that products bought from the Dick Smith stores, they will be giving a 12-month warranty on. They will be honouring a warranty for 12 months.
Who will honour that warranty?
The receivers will be handling that side of it, however they do that.
Yeah.
And that will be very handy for you if you happen to be one of the people who goes into the store and buys one of the TVs that have just been released to the stores from the 9 container loads of TVs that have come in from Shenzhen in China.
What's happened?
Oh,
apparently they already had TVs on order when they went into receivership.
Oh,
and they
no.
were, the stock has arrived, and they were like, well, we'll send it out to stores.
And that's despite the fact that the manufacturer said send them back.
Ouch.
There was a court case during the week. And
really?
Yeah. And there's still going to be some ongoing discussion as to who pays for all of this sort of stuff.
I'm sure they'll sell
But in the meantime, these are the Dick Smith branded ones, and they will be in the stores.
Oh, it's actually their own brand.
Yes.
Ah, ouch.
Yes. Jason.
Nintendo.
Yes, that's a name from the past.
Well, it's not necessarily a name from the past, but Nintendo has finally moved into mobile. They're not releasing a phone, but they are releasing their first mobile game. It's called Miitomo.
Hang on. Why aren't they just releasing Donkey Kong or Mario?
Oh, they totally should, but they're testing the waters. You could say they're testing the waters by releasing a crap game first.
Why are they doing that? Because there is a lot of money for Nintendo to make.
That totally was one hell of a harsh judgment call, Jason.
I know. I stopped myself at the end. So Miitomo
is crazy.
They are. Miitomo is a game that uses their little Mii avatars that they've used on the Wii and the Wii U for the last few years, and it allows you to form friendship networks with your friends who all are going to have Miis and Miitomos as well, and your Mii will go and visit them during the day while you're not paying attention to your phone, and will ask them interesting questions, and it will come back and tell you what their responses are. And so the idea is that you will find out more about your friends with some questions that you might not normally ask them.
Such as? Was there an example?
Well, Nintendo being Nintendo, their examples are all things like, what's your favourite food?
That's not the answer to his question. He asked you if there was an example. The correct answer is either yes or no.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Good.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
However, it also requires you to spend time using the app to answer the questions.
So you have to answer the questions, but you don't necessarily have to control your Mii.
No, but but if every day I'm going to get Miis coming from 10 of my friends asking me what's my favorite color, and I have to continually type in
whatever. I assume it will remember the answers to those kind of things. And
eventually the Nintendo's app will become autonomous.
But Nintendo's gone a little bit dark with it, and they've actually said that you might actually find out some deep, dark secrets from your friends.
While we're talking autonomous, I have just solved a problem relating to a subject that I broached while we were having dinner this evening.
You've automated Jeff.
Not quite. Only. But listen carefully, guys, and see if you can work this one out. On Thursday night, Domino's unveiled the Domino's robotic unit.
Was this before or after Telstra data crashed?
This was this would have been after the Telstra data crash, but now we have maybe two reasons, because you've just given us a second reason, but we'll come to that part in a moment. But the Domino's robotic unit is a prototype of what Domino's says is going to be the world's first autonomous pizza delivery vehicle.
So the question is where they actually put the emphasis there, because it might just be a delivery vehicle that delivers autonomous pizzas.
Well, that's right. A four-wheeled robotic unit travels at speeds of up to 20K and is designed to cruise on footpaths, trails, and bike paths.
This sounds terrible.
Hang on. It sounds like the best way to get free pizza.
It does, doesn't it? When it doesn't arrive.
Or when see someone else's pizza go past on the footpath while you're at the pub.
Take it and run.
I look forward to seeing the first autonomous Domino's vehicle go past where the lid is open and people are just helping themselves.
Imagine that. It's almost like a waiter walking around with that tray of food.
Especially because it only goes at 20 kilometres an hour. If you see it, you can run down the street and catch it.
I can sprint after my pizza.
Come back.
Okay, but
there is going to be violent people crash tackling.
I know.
Autonomous delivery.
Wonderful. This is the end of civilization as we know it.
And it came from Domino's Pizza. Domino's, you thought they may have invented Skynet, but no, it's just a pizza on wheels.
But this wasn't unveiled in Brisbane on Thursday night.
It wasn't.
It was.
It was.
Right.
It was.
Okay.
And there we have the answer to why Madonna was late at her concert on Thursday night.
You found a way into it.
We found a way into it. But even better, of course, if it wasn't this, it was because she couldn't ring to apologise to her fans because of the Telstra outage.
No, the outage was only data, to be clear.
Well, she sure, but Madonna cruises on Sky.
She couldn't send an email to each of
her. She couldn't tweet about it.
No. There you go.
That's fair.
There you go. Jeff, anything more?
So, PlayStation VR headset is coming to Australia, and it is, if you say only, going to cost you $549.
So, can I actually just say kudos to Sony, because they basically took the US price and converted it to Australia.
No, you cannot.
No, I think that's good.
That is, no, you is cannot nice say to that. See.
You asked if you can say that. I'm saying no, you can't.
But I just did.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Oh, boy. And look, I mean, there is other headsets coming. I mean, Oculus has theirs, for example. So when you look at gaming, that's going to be another option. But this headset will work directly, straight away, with your PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So there's millions that have been sold in Australia. It's going to be a plug-and-play experience.
Yeah, which, we know how well that works.
But, I mean, that is...
It's designed to work with it,
At the moment, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that is a really good offering, that you won't need a television to use your PS4 then.
Yeah, well, so that was actually one of the things that made the Wii U so appealing, is that you could have your console screen on the controller, and you didn't need to. I mean, Are we seeing a move from consoles away from actually requiring the main TV in the house?
Look, I think that's an interesting thing. I think that if you can sit in a room on an individual chair, it would look really sad. But you have the console in front of you. You put your VR headset on, and you no longer need to spend money on a big TV, big home theater, or even a room.
Mm. It could just be a wardrobe.
It's totally fascinating that you could be just sitting there in a whole other world playing games with people on the other side of the world or whatever it is, just wearing a headset. And I don't know. I haven't used it, and I'm totally excited to do so.
Yeah, I haven't used it either. It hasn't really been on my radar for VR. Like, I mean, I've used HTC Vive.
Yep.
And obviously Samsung Gear VR, but I haven't used Oculus.
Yeah.
But you used Oculus at CES, I think, didn't you?
I didn't.
No. Oh, you didn't? Oh, I thought you did.
I've only used Gear VR.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, cardboard and stuff like
that,
too.
Of course, yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this looks like.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens to it as well.
Okay, I've got two stories to finish off with.
All right.
And the first one is
a scary one.
Oh, yes.
It's murderous.
Indeed. Well, it's not murderous.
It's the second time in 2 weeks we've played that sound.
Indeed it is.
Really? It was on last week.
It was on last week as well.
Was it before my talk about the HP Sprout?
Okay. It was after.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Scientists, this is really quite fascinating. Scientists have created a chicken embryo that has developed dinosaur-like feet after genetic manipulation, highlighting the evolutionary link between theropod dinosaurs and birds. And this is research that's been done at the University of Chile, which was published last week in the journal Evolution. And they show that by inhibiting early maturation of a leg of the chicken embryo, the leg reverts to the shape that the dinosaur's leg had.
This is
fascinating.
This is the frightening. This is the plot of a new Jurassic Park movie, isn't it? Yeah,
it really is. It's kind of scary.
Yeah,
isn't it? And the last story that I have, very very quickly, this is very 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 sad, very bad news, because in England, in Torquay, in England, they have just demolished the hotel upon which Fawlty Towers was modelled.
No, I've never watched it.
You've never watched it? You're missing absolutely brilliant classic humour.
It is a reach for technology news.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, hang on. What happened? Yeah. How is this tech news?
Yeah.
Well, you know, demolishing of this technology because, you know, you're going to build a block of flats or something there, some apartments. Or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But wow. But it is seriously sad.
Welcomes the flimsy justification grill.
Yes. And we're going to move from Torquay to Ice House and Great Southern Land.
You're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed you are. And let's talk Formula One. Grand Prix.
As we should.
And augmented reality. Jeff.
That's a bit different.
It's a weird combo. Yeah, it is. And last Thursday, I was sent down to Melbourne for an Epson event, which is different when you're going to the Grand Prix for a technology event. But the way that they tie the two together was really impressive. So Epson is a major sponsor of Mercedes, who has a championship-winning team, sadly, within Formula One. They do really well, and they won on Sunday in Melbourne also.
Somebody I know owns a couple of Mercedes-Benzes, doesn't he?
You may.
Yes.
You may. And so they brought us into their pits, which is an experience in itself, being into the pit garages of a Formula One team. But
sure.
They have almost two rows of theatre-style seating at the back of the pits now. And it's so funny that you can go in there and they've got these Epson augmented reality glasses, which
Just for a moment. Yeah. Jason, do you know what Formula One is? Sorry.
He's fully aware. We've spoken about it enough in his presence.
I am aware. It is...
It's a car thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, that Formula One. Yes, sure, yes. Fair enough. Yes, go on.
Yep.
Not the hotel chain.
So seats at the back of the pit.
Yes. Yeah. And essentially, you sit down, they tell you, please put your glasses on, which are these Epson glasses.
They looked a little bit like...
They looked odd.
They looked odd, but they also looked like an advance upon the Google Glass that we had a year or so ago.
A little bit like Google Glass. Probably the frames are a bit chunkier than Google Glass is, but it is a transparent lens, so you can see through. It's not actually like cardboard or VR where you can't see anything. So you can see completely fine wearing them, and then you put these headphones on. And essentially, we had a documentary-style tour of the pit garage from our seats. Now, when you say augmented reality, it is clear to make sure you know that it is a transparent display. So I can still see everything that's around me. They're just overlaying visuals on top of that.
So they would be overlaying visuals of, for instance, activities that might happen within the pit garage.
Absolutely.
Which you can see from your seat at the back of the pit garage. So you're looking ahead at the pit garage, and you might be seeing a superimposed image of somebody working on a car.
Yeah, really similar to that. So essentially, both the cars were still parked in the garage, and they sort of had us look at the cars, and then they did a visual of the engine being sort of popped out of the car, and you start to see the parts of the engine and things like that sort of explode in front of you.
Which
is really, really smart way of actually giving you that tour of the garage without actually pulling things out and showing you.
That would take quite a bit of work to prepare, and especially for a... That's a lot of work for a media presentation, even though they often go to a lot of trouble for these. This is above and beyond.
It is.
I've got a question. Mm-hmm. There was Intel had a presentation at CES.
Yep.
About a safety glass system that they'd developed that did much the same thing. You could still see everything around you, but it would overlay information.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if the technology is related, if Intel's involved, or if it's
what you're talking about separate. Sounds more like the sort of thing that you get in a heads-up display, Jason.
Yes, but it seems like this would be capable of using it, of creating a heads-up
display.
I'll
answer the question. So basically, it's important to note that what we saw when I looked at the car and the engine came out of it was not because it knows that I was looking at the car. It didn't recognize the car and then play that demonstration. Essentially, it's a video that was really well timed. So when they say look at the car, if you didn't, that visual was going to happen on your display regardless. It was just a video that was being played through augmented reality.
So it wasn't the case of, like, if you looked a little bit off to the side, you'd still see the car sort of superimposed half into the wall? Or?
Yeah, it would. And that's the thing, is the visual followed wherever I looked. It wasn't that it knew what I was looking at. It was just that the audio was guiding us appropriately to work with the video.
Basically, it's just a movie, and if you're not looking in the right place, then all hell breaks loose.
And it was really interesting, actually, because your eyes almost are playing tricks on you while you're using these AR displays, because you're trying to make sure you can read the text that's being thrown up on your display, which is millimeters from your eye.
But still also has a visual.
It feels like it's over in the distance.
Yeah. So it actually sometimes you have to refocus, and it was a little unsettling at times, but the actual overall experience was just incredible. So,
now,
yeah,
my understanding is this is actually slated for production in the second half of the year.
Yeah, so that headset is coming out this year. Their previous model has been out for a little while, and they've been actually using it a lot in surgery. So in surgery, they've been using them already, and they showed us some sort of examples of that, which is really interesting as well. I'm hoping that any surgeon that's working on somebody already knows how to do it, but they're using it for some benefit anyway.
It's really...
It's cool stuff.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's not your VR. It's not your 3D stuff. It is something that is apart from that, but still very much a part...
Related technology.
Yeah. It's still related. Yes, absolutely. Related technology and still very much a part of what is going to be happening in our very, very near future.
Yeah, and that what we experienced was not just for the media. We were the first ones to try it, but they would have been bringing people through over the whole weekend, you know, sponsors and
of course
things like that, and they're going to be traveling that through the whole season. So that booth will go to every pit garage, which is a huge space in the garage.
And that's going to be probably following them around through the whole Formula One circuit for the next 6 months at least.
I think it's the whole year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Great stuff. Okay, this is Ganga Jang, and I love this, and to me it's very similar song to, well, very similar piece of music to Great Southern Land from Ice House, the Ganga Jang, and this is absolutely Australia. FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Now, Jeff, last Sunday, you were away.
I was.
You were in Melbourne. And you weren't able to join in the conversation that Jason and I had about the Samsung Galaxy S7 phone.
Yes,
sadly. And you do have one.
I do.
And, of course, you're an iPhone user.
I am, and this is the strange thing, is normally when I review phones, I will switch to them for around 2 weeks.
Right.
Do the review and jump as fast as possible back to my iPhone, hug it, and apologize profusely that I left it for so long.
He does get attached to inanimate
objects,
appreciates
your return every time.
Hi, Tim. Tim Cook obviously listens to the show.
Yeah, no, he writes to me all the time.
But I must say that... Yeah, after using the S7, I haven't gone back yet.
I'm refraining from comment on that, Jason.
Yeah. So I haven't gone back on the to the iPhone yet. I'm enjoying the S7, and it's, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm happy.
you're having a crisis of conscience because you like it.
It's a little off, and I mean the S6 was not enough for me to stay.
Okay.
And look, honestly, it's not usually the device's fault. I just struggle with Android and the way that they...
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, and I sometimes feel bad for, you know, your Samsungs and Sonys, because I'll say I wouldn't use that phone, but it's not entirely because of the hardware. Usually the hardware is fine. It's the operating system that frustrates me. for some reason now it seems to be a little bit easier to deal with. Maybe it's because of the latest version of Android that I haven't been using.
Maybe Jeff's maturing.
There are still certain things that I get completely frustrated by and I don't appreciate it. But I think, and I said this in when I wrote about this phone once, was if someone was ever considering moving to Android from their iPhone, this is the phone where I can say, yeah, give it a go, because I think you'll actually stick with it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's and I've never said that before about someone going from our iPhone to Android. I think if you were going to do it, this would be the one.
Absolutely.
We were talking about this at dinner, and I hadn't really formulated my thought for it last week, but this week I've just been amazed as I've been using the phone, and I've been conscious of the fact that I'm actually amazed as I'm using the phone that it keeps up with me, because I am a power user. I swap between apps all the time, and I'm always doing something that's involving multiple apps on my phone, and I'm always amazed that it keeps up with me and it doesn't stutter. It's been great.
It's an impressive unit. There are certain things that the iPhone does not do that this can. I mean, take, for example, the water resistance. I can walk in the rain reading my texts and not care.
Okay. Appropriately, Carole King, it might as well rain until September.
It might actually. What should I write? What can I say? We're back with the closing moments of the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
And it is time for a useless gadget.
Yes.
Jeff.
And today's one is a horrible. Beauty. It's essentially some fashion designers have decided to go green with their latest vest. This vest, which also has a hood, can also act as a garden, which will grow chia seeds. It will allow you. It is bought, actually, made of. It's a muslin material, which has chia seeds planted, ready to start growing your fresh chia.
I have some alternate suggestions as to what you might want to grow on this jacket.
I just don't get it. I would if I had to have any.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Yeah.
The governments of this country, various state governments, are talking about making marijuana legal for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, but you wouldn't wear that around, would you?
I think we should have some medicinal jackets.
I would like a salt and pepper jacket. I would never be looking for the salt and pepper. I'd be growing it.
Well, that's easy. You just get a.
You just wave your sleeves over your meal.
You just have salt in your left hand. Pepper in your right hand, and away you go.
Or sweet chili sauce. I use that a lot too.
Sweet chili sauce, yeah. Or the hot chili peppers.
Or that.
You could have a CD in the inside pocket of your jacket.
Or coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds.
Mm. What would you carry, Jason? If you could have a vest made of any...
Jason would turn his vest into a compost tumbler.
Oh, jeez.
What?
What? Because you love compost, Jason, obviously.
Who knows?
Well, you live where all the greenies are, mate. Come on.
Oh, then he would be wearing the chia seed jacket. Oh,
man, no. Right. But he doesn't have the hipster beard.
No, I was going to say, this is the hipster you do. This is really a hipster thing. right? It's not like an inner westy greeny thing. It's
so what should it be? It should be a vegan, dairy free.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, you should just like open up the jacket and there'll just be like there'll be like a chicken coop in there.
Free range.
Yeah.
Organic.
It's totally free range. The chickens are free to roam anywhere that you go with your jacket.
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com, and the podcast on gadgetgrill.com.au. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
I'm Jason Murray.
So pay attention and join us another time. This is Chick Corea and Sophisticated Lady.
She's sophisticated.
With Bobby McFerrin singing.